I guess, again, just to going through this subject of the church, part of it comes from our discussion a couple of Sunday nights ago, what we've seen, some of the problems of our day that we notice, divisions, those things like that. I think may have been Ms. Kim or somebody had mentioned lack of involvement, you know, trying to find help, those things like that. And I think Paul addresses as what we talked about this morning, that we are called collectively together into a servanthood, that we all, each of us, in some capacity or another, we don't all have the same role or position, but we're all called to be involved in the lives of other people, in ministering, serving, encouraging, those things like that. And I find it so common, at least with people that I talk to, you know, along the way, you talk to people and you have conversations and you find out that church seems to be more of a, well, how do you explain it? That's just something you go do and then that's it, and miss the whole idea of us gathering together, growing together in our lives, being interwoven in through our sufferings and sorrows and through our joys and those things like that, sharing this journey together, at least in the biblical sense of what the Bible says. Fellowship is partnering, or at least where the word comes from, or one of the definitions of the word of fellowship is to partner together. And so the Bible has called us to do that as a body of Christ. And so it stands from that, at least in my mind, a need in our day and a need for Vickers Chapel, especially those who come on Sunday. We have many of those to encourage them that this is what God's called you to do. And to be more than just come in and sit down and that's it, but to be involved in some fashion or another, to seek what God has called you to be or how He's gifted you, to get involved, to encourage someone or interact with someone. And if we can do that through this series with anybody, then hopefully it won't be in vain. I know doing this on Sunday nights is kind of like preaching to the choir, so to speak, proverbially speaking, because you're on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And so it's almost, as one preacher says, it's kind of safe to say that we're the spiritual ones, so to speak. And I mean that kind of a little with a little humor to that. But it is a good reminder of us as well, because sometimes we can feel like, you know, maybe our usefulness as we're not as useful, or we don't have this, or we don't have that, and those things like that. And so we too need to be reminded of those things and encouraged. And like the Amy Sergi and those things like that, and all your comments and posts on Facebook and encouraging words. And those are things that you see naturally flow out of a church that is trying to walk through trials and sufferings with someone in their congregation. And so I praise you and thank you for that. And it's a joy to see that, to see that play out in real life. So let's look back here, beginning of verse number 11. We're just going to go through verse 16 and kind of bring out some of this for us. We have looked at this before, hopefully by way of encouragement tonight. And that is, the Bible teaches, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And so that is, here is His purpose statement. The purpose for giving these particular gifts, and I will say this, we go back to what he said in verse number 7, we're not separated from that. The purpose of spiritual gifts and Him gifting each of us is to come, is for this work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. And he says, so the purpose for all this is till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so by that he's simply saying that these things are taking place in us. They're there to edify us, to build us up, to perform ministry, until a point in time, or until we reach this mark or this measure. And what is the mark and measure? Well, it's the fullness of Christ, naturally. And so until we resemble or reflect or display a picture of the fullness of Christ, and part of that is speaking of maturity, and he says, verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more, and what's the word he uses there? He says, I don't want you to be children. Children are great. And we just transitioned car seats with John. It's awesome. He loves it. He can go to the front and the back and all this other stuff, you know, because it ain't got to be strapped in and you stick your arm in there, which you never can get it in there. So he's got a booster seat now. I mean, it's amazing, and I can't wait. It'll be another 5 years before he gets out of that one. But That idea of children being a blessing and those things like that, you want to see some kind of maturity. You want to see them grow up. And Paul is saying that we henceforth be no more children. That desire is not to continue in childhood. Tossed to and fro, one of the marks of children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, does anyone know another mark of childishness that we have seen in Corinthians? I think it would be, just to answer that, would be selfishness, self-centeredness, or divisions, or those things like that that Paul talks about in the first few chapters. And he's saying that there is this stability that you need in your life, this maturity that is to be brought about. And he says, as you do that, and to be warned and guarded against false teachers, but speak the truth in love, you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse number 16, he says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, it's kind of hard for me to get my mind wrapped around this verse number 16. One of the hardest verses I think that's put together in the Bible, to me anyway, but is as every joint or every part is functioning in maturity or out of maturity, doing what it's supposed to be doing. So the arm is not being the leg is not being the arm. And so as every joint is functioning as it ought to function, so let's think of it that way, being connected to the head, which is Christ. And so this effectual working means that this thing is working properly. And so there wants to be this proper working. You don't have things out of place. Maketh increase the body unto the edifying itself in love. In other words, it makes it function and prosper and build itself up in love. So let's try to look at what he's saying. Well, verse number 11 is what we said this morning. He gives these gifts of ministry of the word, which is to lay the foundation, is to guide and shepherd us into maturity. In other words, we don't just get mature because we reach a certain age, or we don't just get mature because we have had a life experience and all these things that we have under our belt, and so we become mature, or we don't necessarily become mature just because we can grow a few gray hair or whatever the case may be. We become mature in this sense from the Word of God. The Word of God is that milk which Peter talks about as newborn babes desiring that. It's the milk. A Hebrew writer talks about the meat of the Word of God. And so he gives these gifts so that we may mature. The Bible, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy. I'll turn there. And several places throughout Timothy, instructing Timothy based upon his position or based upon his understanding of these things. Chapter number 2, verse number 2, he says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now what is that? What is that he heard? Well, the teaching of the faith, the doctrines which Paul has been preaching, the gospel. He says, those things which you have heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And you see this building up, or this continual work of teaching one to teach others, and so on it goes. He goes on and says later on in the same chapter, It says in verse number 14 of the same chapter, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words. In other words, they don't do what these false teachers are doing back in this other chapter and bringing up all this stuff that makes no difference to no profit, but subverting the hearers. And he goes on and says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And vain babblings, avoid those things like that. And later on he will tell them again that the word of God, that it is sufficient, that all scripture is given. We know this verse very well. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly or fitly or adequately thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so here Christ has given the church those to minister within the word so that they may, what he will later on say in verse number 12, for the purpose that the saints would be perfected. Now that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? To think that through the preaching of the word that the people that's going to listen to it will be perfect. Well, I think it may be best understood as that they may be equipped, or they may be complete in order to do or mature in that sense, and not perfect in the sense of Jesus Christ, sinless, perfect. Okay? So he's saying that they may be, it's the gift of the pastor teacher, the gift of these people to produce a maturity of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And simply this, that it is within the church that as they grow in the Word of God, the church itself, the body of Christ, and I would say including the pastor teacher in this, are called to the ministry. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Erasmus or somebody way long time ago before they had televisions and all that other stuff. I think they just come out with a printing press, but I think it was during that time that they began to look at this as saying, well, this is the minister's job. He is to perfect the saints, he is to do the work, and he is to build up the body by himself. I would just say that that's a tall order for anybody, isn't it? Not one person is going to be able to do the ministry, do the things that need to be done. And I'm not even saying that to defend myself. I'm surprised at some of the things that some of these guys do or say they do and got going on. And he's saying, or at least in that mentality, that it is one person's job to do all these things like that. It makes more sense if the body is given a measure of the gift of Christ, of the Spirit of God for a particular reason, that includes the minister. He's only given a measure. The minister isn't given the fullness of those things. And no one knows that more than me when I look in the mirror. I've only got a measure of what God has called me to do and gifted me to do. And so this idea of the body being edified is brought about by the maturing of the saints as the saints began to do the ministry which God has called them to do. That's pretty general terms, isn't it, ministry? Now, the word simply means service. Now, we could look at it service to one another, a service to those that come in, service to those in our community, service to those in our family, or whatever the case may be. But it is that going out, you know, the Bible says that we're to provoke one another unto love and good works. It is that going out with a servant's heart, doing what God has placed on your heart and called you to do. Is saying as we mature, we don't just mature in our understanding. In fact, if that's all we know is what we know and there's nothing else that follows that, then something's wrong. It's not true maturity. It's one of them know-it-all people who's got all the answers. All you got to do is ask them. It is in that maturing that we grow together and that we work together as what God has gifted us for this reason, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So that the body may be healthy, the body may function and be what the body has called it to be. It may be the light and salt and those things of that nature. That is done by the engagement of one another, being obedient and led by the Spirit of God, serving one another. How'd you like to have been one of the disciples and Jesus come and wash your feet? I mean, that'd have been a humbling thing, wouldn't it? I know I've said this before, and Brother James went to a Primitive Baptist church. My papa was a Primitive Baptist preacher, and I went to their church one Sunday evening with him. And you go there, and one of them older men come and take my shoes off and wash my feet there. And I mean, you didn't know what to think as a teenager when this older preacher sat and began to wash your feet. But then he looks at the disciples, and what you have seen me do to one another. Now, I know that Primitive Baptists and some other denominations believe that this is one of the things that God has commanded the church to do. I don't necessarily believe that. But it is a great picture example of this idea of servanthood. So there's not no one exempt from that, is there? As the body matures, so their understanding and so their activity in servanthood. He says, how long will we do this? Well, until we all come in this same faith, into the same faith we embrace, into the same knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, measure the stature of Christ, until we demonstrate, until we're going to continue to grow and continue to minister until we come into this full measure of who Christ is. And it may be the return of Christ, as some may suggest here. But he says the reason for this is that we're not to be tossed back and forth. There was a lady and her husband used to come around my uncle's house before he passed away and several years ago with cancer, and they always had some wild ideas. When you want to talk about what Paul tells Timothy about vain babblings and stuff that stir up strife, I mean, you just got to sit down and listen to them talk about something. I mean, it was just off the wall out there. But to hear them talk, they love the Lord. But it's almost like they don't have time for this gathering together. They don't have time for church, and they get lost in all this stuff that is just out there in left field that has nothing to do with the Bible at all. And they go and they spread this stuff and they carry this stuff on. And what is the problem? Well, they may be saved for sure. We don't know that. It's between them and God. But one thing is for sure that we do know just by understanding of this and by what they're carrying on is that they're not at all mature in their faith. Instead, they're immature. One of the gifts that God has given to us is the body of Christ, the giftedness of the Spirit of God among all of us, that we may encourage and lead one another to maturity so that we don't go back and forth and we don't get carried away with all that crazy stuff that's going on in our day. And he says, and rather of all this, as we mature, we're to speak the truth in love, and we grow up into Him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now that is what we should desire, to be a place that is striving for Christ-likeness, together serving one another, and speaking the truth to one another in love. Realizing that no one, it doesn't matter how seen your position are, or how unseen whatever it is that you do is, but that each of us is gifted by the Spirit of God, and we understand that, and we are engaged in serving one another. And to me, that is at least what Paul is saying here, is the church is what God has called it to be, or the purpose in which He has called it together as we gather together. So I'm gonna leave with that, and as we look at that last part, God has called us to serve one another. To grow together into the measure, the stature of Christ, so that we may reflect Him corporately together, not only in one another's lives, but to those who are outside. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for this evening that we can gather together. And God, for Your grace, now for the testimonies tonight that we've heard, and the encouraging words, and Father, they are... they are encouraging as we are reminded of what You have done and what You can do. And God, we pray tonight that You would help Vickers Chapel to be a place to grow not only those that are here this evening, but those that were present this morning, those who have been for some long time on the outside and just kind of riding the perimeter and never getting in and getting involved. God, we just pray that You would deal with them help them to commit to this place, to one another. And God, we thank you for the love that we do see and the service that does go on, that glorifies you and that encourages one another. We'll give you the glory for all that you do among us. In Jesus' name, amen.